Welcome to episode 347 of the Countdown Podcast. Kids, do you like the music? Do you like the ear candy? Do you? Because you got the Hall & Oates of podcasting right here. My name is Wayne.
To me, it feels more like the Ike and Tina Turner. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast of Countdown Movies and sometimes television. And today, songs.
Songs?
In order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And I realize how ridiculous that is to say. We cannot tell you, the listener, what songs are better. But goddamn, we're going to try.
Absolutely. And that's why this show is going to be a little funny and a little off. Because, I mean, look, Paul, you've always been quite like, when you like music, most people like it too. Okay.
Really? I don't know. I think you're more poppy, sort of mainstream.
Poppy,
than
but
I am.
But that's not popular. See, ironically, no, it's popular to the masses, but not to anyone you know.
Listen to my, you believe my daughter, it's all poppy shit.
Oh yeah, that's it. Everyone thinks I'm a 7-year-old girl. So, so that's the problem. Like, some of you out there, you might think I might be known for my ridiculous laugh or my general vulgarity and so on.
And you are.
But it's actually for my highly unpopular taste in music. You see.
What? No.
No, it is. So here's what happens, okay? Like, for example, the other day, I heard a song on the radio, and I went, ooh, that was a nice song. That's fantastic. Shazammed it. Fucking Jonas Brothers. All right? And I'm like, shit.
You're mocking
So now
me,
I can't
you?
Tell anyone I like this, but I do like it. So I even, when I nod my head when I'm listening to music, I also know it's shit, so I also shake my head at the same time. It ends up being like a circle. It's fucked up. It's bullshit. I'm doing some Stevie Wonder shit here. Yeah, trigger rates. So... So that's my little caveat, my little, you know, like,
right.
You know.
That's your excuse early on.
That is my
saying.
Excuse. You're going to hear some
Whereas,
fucking shit.
My music is very one note, and I'm prepared to acknowledge I have a very slim, small window, right? Other than soundtracks. I love soundtracks, but we ruled those out. This is songs today. And the topic which we're talking around but have not stated yet is the top 10 songs in films that we love.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're not saying these are the best songs ever.
No, and it's
we're
hard to
these
rank
are
them.
Our favorite
that's
songs.
That's right.
And they're not the favorite songs we mentioned in Needle Drops because we ruled those ones out. So exactly. If you listened to about 41 episodes ago, I think it was episode 306, with top 10 Needle Drops, none of those films are eligible.
Absolutely.
Which really stymied me.
It's hard to put a list together for this because you have to try and remember when you were moved by a song within a film.
Yeah.
So how do you remember all
well,
that
normally
shit?
I will go, Stuck in the Middle with You by Steeler's Wheel.
Steeler's Wheels.
From Reservoir Dogs. Mm-hmm. Amazing. What a moment in film. That would exactly have been right up there with my number one.
But of course, you mentioned it in the
Needle
Drops.
Drops. So it's out
it's
of
out.
The equation.
Same with over here.
So
same
this time I came at it very differently. I just said, you know what? I'm just going to look for my favorite songs in films.
Yes.
And try to shoehorn them in.
Yes, and say this is why it worked in the scene, or not.
Yes. And I managed to do that with 3 or 4 of them, but then there was a lot where I just couldn't.
That's so, why, Paul, my initial brief was going to be like this.
It was just going to be songs. So
songs we like in films.
We just might as well set our top 10 songs.
Top 10 songs in film.
Yeah, but songs in film, but like... Eh.
Don't you have to stick film in there because of the title of our show?
Well, I think that, but otherwise it doesn't
Maybe
make any sense.
Maybe this is how we diversify, Paul.
No one gives a shit everything. What my top 10 songs are, nor yours, despite your very descriptive fucking opener.
Oh, look, they'll still laugh at my shit. Trust me, I'm going to get some heat. You think I got heat this week? Wait till next week.
We don't have any recount this week because we're recording very early because Wayne's away this weekend. Mm. So we're going to do... 345's Bruce Willis v. Nick Cage feedback next week on the show and reveal the results of that. Wayne, should we vote this week?
Feel free. Do you want to do it?
Do we just go, you know what? This is not a vote-worthy list because we're not really saying these films are good.
Nah. Well, yeah, we can do it. We can do it.
No, Wayne still wants to do it? Okay.
They'll rag on me. It's fine.
No, they'll rag on me.
No. Wait till you hear my list.
The list of feedback has been very, very all over the place, as you would expect, because everyone has different music taste, and some have movie taste, but I think music's even more diversified because there's a lot more songs
Absolutely.
That come out every year than
it's
films.
It's easier to make a song than a damn film.
Well, yeah, I think that's fair. Hmm. Certainly a feature-length film, anyway.
Yeah.
No disrespect to artists and recorders and
or
producers.
Or us who did Reap, yeah. So
that too. So look, we're going straight into it. We go straight into the recap, except for one thing, which I'm not even going to press a button for. I just wanted to say this one here.
Go ahead.
Big shout out to patron extraordinaire David Powell, who.
Dave?
After last week's show where we announced the winner of the Vegemite Challenge, which was Adam Malone, top level patron, he released, for all the overseas listeners who took the Vegemite Challenge up, he has created certificates,
yes,
which I'm going to email those people, if I haven't already. So maybe you've already hit it. If I don't have your email address, you haven't. If you are part of that, you're an overseas listener, and you want your official certificate to make you a Vegemite Challenge winner, even if you didn't win the award, yeah. But and therefore some official things
let's
to come with
it. About it.
We'll put a post up about it. We'll put a sample there so everyone can see. Hit us up with your email address so I can let you have the honor of this occasion. With huge thanks to David, who created
Big
this of his own
man, Dave.
Back. So thank you so much, sir.
Nice one, son.
All right. Otherwise, then, let's just get into it. I think it's going to be a very long episode with less talking than usual.
Not very long, but nice and long enough.
Wayne's dick.
Certainly not long.
On the other side of this music cue.
Deep in the countdown now. In the countdown. Your mom can suck my nuts now.
Oh.
Doing his radio voice, everyone. We were just having a discussion on how radio DJs do shit like this because we can't do it. So go ahead, Paul.
Suck a dick.
No, hit me. I want to hear it. Here we go.
Our top 10.
Top 10.
Songs. In film.
I don't know why you're stuck here.
Subject.
And Howard Stern has his own show.
Oh, this is good. But if you saw me move my head around the microphone, you might have got the stereo effect I was looking for.
Oh, no, I was there.
If only visually. All right, Wayne, I'm going to throw it to you.
Okay.
Because you were good enough to provide me the links. We're going to play this music at some point or another in each particular one.
Yes.
Your number 10.
Okay, my number 10 is, I saw a film called Star Trek Beyond.
Ooh.
And at the end of the film, I love this man. And let me tell you something, everyone. Again, talking
Beastie
about-
Boys.
Beastie Boys, baby. Sabotage. What happens is, Kirk and all the crew in the Enterprise are flying among these very dangerous drones that are fucking everyone up. And there's like billions of them. And the only thing that can fuck them up, they find out, is by playing a certain frequency which will make them explode. And they do that by broadcasting the song Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. Is that how the song goes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I just couldn't recognize it. And when he does it, he starts with a down, and then you see all the crew sort of tapping their feet, and Kirk is like, good choice. And then as it goes,
so where do you want this to kick in?
Maybe give me at 1 minute 45. So when that thing happens, that's when everything blows up because it's like, oh, you see these explosions around the Enterprise, which were very, very cool. And also, the fact that they were singing Sabotage and what these people were doing was sabotaging. Well, this song is called Sabotage, right? And so, but they were sabotaging the actual system that they were getting into. So that was even better. Plus, all the old people in the audience, me and people older than me, were all about this man. Everyone cheered and I liked it as a result. I had never heard this song before. So, you know, there you are. Sabotage by the Beastie Boys in Star
You've
Trek
never
Beyond.
Heard this song before.
No, and you know what is
Whatever
interesting?
Whatever cred you just built up.
What cred? I told you I have none.
With that statement.
So even you've heard it?
How dare you? Okay. Sabotage is massive. How do you think I know it? Can't stand it.
Well, you know what? I am always amazed by the Beastie Boys because even in any rap circles, remember when Vanilla Ice came out a while ago? Everyone was like, you can't rap, you're white. But these guys are way back in the day, and everyone, including gangster rappers, really respect them. So they got some game, man.
Absolutely they do.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, look, great choice of band, great choice of song, dubious choice of film is what I would say.
It's not about the best film, Paul, because I've got some pieces of shit on here.
Oh, we should have emphasized, we are counting this down from towards our favorite song.
Yes,
the higher
not the favorite
goes.
Film.
No, it's got nothing to do with the film quality. It's got a lot more to do with how good the song is. But I did try to find a substantial
through line
moment of the song. My number 10 is the exception. This song plays for about 9 seconds only in this film.
It still work.
But it did generate a laugh in an otherwise completely unfunny film. It's from The Heat.
Oh,
did you see this film with Melissa McCarthy? And
yeah,
Sandra
I did,
Bullock?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, okay.
It was a piece of shit.
Well, there's a moment in the film where we're establishing how big a piece of shit Melissa McCarthy's character, Mullins, I believe her name is.
Right.
Is. And she's walking along, and the dude from the office, David from the office, the big boss.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He comes up to her and is like, oh, we had such a great night. Why can't we catch up again? She blows him off in a really awkward, awful way. And Sandra Bullock is clearly the much hotter person.
Mm.
It's like, you are so mean. It's like, eh, you fuck a guy once and he's like mates for life. And then we hear this song build up, the song I'm about to play.
Yeah.
And there's a shot of a car driving past with someone honking the horn.
Yeah.
And a finger extended up.
Yeah.
And Sandy B says, who's that? And she's like, my mom.
Okay.
And the song is this one.
More Than a Feeling is awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the shit.
I'm going to give it a moment to breathe.
We were air guitaring all through that thing.
Damn, what a song. As what a moment. Look, I love the song. I can't speak to the moment in the film so much, but this song has been in so many different films and so many different whatevers.
Yeah.
Mostly TV shows, and I really noticed it was in Scrubs. Scrubs is what brought this song to my attention.
Oh, no wonder you know it. Actually, I was going to say, how the fuck have you heard this song? You don't like classic rock.
No, look, actually, no, you're absolutely wrong. I do really like classic rock. And I have,
Boston? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 1976, this film.
Yeah.
Oh, this song came out on their date at their eponymous, their self-titled album from Boston. And I just love this song. It's withstood the test of time for me. I never fast forward this song when it comes on my iTunes playlist or on the radio. It's crank it up and put the foot down. It's amazing.
I've just realized I'm in trouble because I've got a few. Like, oh, I like this song, but it doesn't really suit the film, so I scrubbed it off. So now I've got, it's okay. It's okay. We've still got songs on here. Songs are straight up shit, but I like them in the film. So I'm fine with that.
What do you mean? I thought we were going best songs. That's what we discussed.
Best songs that suited in film. That's what we talked about.
This suits the moment.
Yeah.
Not driving fine. Past with your finger out the window going, Mother.
That's fine. But also, this song is so good that I get that you might have gone that way. But
I would suggest that some of my songs people won't like.
Okay. We're good. Okay, well, my number nine. Well, there's no problem with that with my number nine. Because my number nine is from the film Deadpool. And it is, in fact, the opening credit song, Angel of the Morning, which I have loved since I was a kid, man.
Sure, we've talked about this one on the podcast.
I think it was an honorable mention on the Neil Drops, but I couldn't let it go. We didn't play it or anything. Okay. So,
all right, well, in that case, I'll have to let it
now, remember, it's a slow-mo scene where there's slow-mo guns being shot in the air and people getting fucked up in funny credits. And then...
The important part is funny credits.
Funny credits. Probably the funniest credits I've ever seen to an open film. And it's over this kind of song. Oh, yeah. By the way, that song, Angel of the Morning, she is referring to herself being a slight hoe. You see, she's the angel of the morning, and when you wake up, just touch my cheek before you leave.
You know what the best part of this episode is? When Wayne just loses himself the fucking list by just talking.
I don't know. Yeah, big fan of that song, everyone. But also how it suited the actual scene made it sort of ironically funny.
Fair enough. All right. Well, my number nine is from a film we both love.
Right.
Right. And I think this is a film which not only does wonders for
T to the C,
but also Jamie Foxx and Yada Pinkett Smith. It's Collateral, directed by Michael Mann.
Oh, well,
and it has this wonderful track in it, which drew my attention to the track back 17 years ago. And it's remained a steadfast part of my playlist ever since on all my devices. It's from Groove Armada. It's called Hands of Time. And this song plays while they're meeting early in the film.
Huh.
So he's picked her up and they're driving along and they're having their meet cute, as you would call it, Wayne.
That's right.
And the song's playing underneath them.
Okay.
And then we cut outside the car as they're driving through LA to the neon lights
mm-hmm,
and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the song sort of crescendos. And then we're back in the car and she's developing an interest in him. He's a charming bloke. She's a federal prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
He's a common cab driver.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of this exchange, after the music fades out, she gives him her card.
Right there.
And that's enough for him to be like, really, once we work out later on the film that Vincent's ultimate target is her.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been through so much, he's definitely going to say this woman or die trying.
Right.
And so this all sets it up. And okay. It's this beautiful song, which I think sells the moment. Think like this is the meet cute, right?
Oh yeah. No one to blame. No one to blame. I'm liking it.
Good.
Sure.
I'll just we'll play her out. Oh, it seems to me
can't turn back the hand of time. Oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know this song. I know this song. I'm surprised you know. Oh, you saw it in a movie.
I realized halfway through that Wayne put his headphones back on.
But I caught it. I caught it.
Yeah. So you can see the moment that it's trying to sell this film, and I think it does very well.
That kind of mood on something. Like, in fact, if you're ever trying to crack onto someone, you should try and have a song like that in the background. Yes. Just makes everyone a little more relaxed.
Yeah. There's even a moment where Michael Mann goes way outside, like the helicopter shot, looking straight down on the neon lights of LA, and that's cool. sells it perfectly. Like they're these two characters in this big world, but they're having this intimate moment. Right. I think that song does that better.
This is their space. This is
anything.
That moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Michael Mann's not doing Miami Vice, he's great.
That is from the album Love Box. Love Box. That's what the album's called. 2002.
Well done, old man. Well, my number 8 is from a film which it's one of those art house films that I don't recommend you watch unless you're a bit of a creep or a freak or you like very off-kilter films. It's Boxing Helena. Is the film.
Oh, yes.
And this is, in case you don't know, this is a film about Julian Sands, who is a surgeon of some sort. And he's a bit of a... he's fucked up a bit, right? And he basically convinces Cheryl and Fenn to come over and ends up cutting off her extremities.
As you do.
As you do, all right? To keep her in a box as such, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to spoil this film, all right? It's
from what, 1993, yeah, okay. 4 or 5?
It ends up all being a fucking dream, so don't worry about it, okay? None of this shit actually happened. However,
I assume it's her dream.
It's his dream.
His dream.
His dream. Yeah. But he's still fucked up. He's still fucked up.
Actually, whoever needs, we need help.
Right. But there is a scene in this film and a song accompanying it, which, first of all, I do absolutely love the song. But also, the way it works in this scene, I didn't expect anyone to ever use this song in a movie, but it works amazingly well. Now, there is a scene where Julian Sands has to have sex with a woman, not Boxing Helena. He's doing it to actually show Boxing Helena that he can do it right. Because the first time he was with her, he shot his load and he's like, oh, sorry. And then she was all like making fun of him. And to make it back, he does this. They play the song Woman in Chains by Tears for Fears. One of Paul's favorite bands. And by the way,
I do like this song.
Yeah, yeah. This is a great song. That's right. That's how it goes. And because of this really dreamy sort of way that it works out and listens. See that vocal?
You better love it, you better be. This is not one of the better songs.
You don't like it? It's cool. Look, there's a female vocal that comes in and really cool. It's a very long, low song, but I've always loved it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so imagine that while you're trying to pound. You know what I'm saying? See, that's the girl's voice. Very nice.
I've gone, Gravamata, you've gone Tears for Fears. I guess they're very similar.
Are they? Yeah, I got you. Anyway, that's it. Number 8, Woman in Chains by Tears for Fears. By the way, Bill Paxton is in this movie. Very funny.
Her boyfriend?
Yeah. He even does a thing one time where he leaves a room and puts his sunglasses on. They look like Terminator sunglasses. He goes, as to whatever, and then walks out. Very funny.
All right, my number 8 is from one of the greatest films of all time. It's yet to feature in my top 100 films. It will be there in the top 50 as we work our way through that list.
Mm.
When I say we, I do, until we get to our top 10, when we will do, towards the end of the podcast, the top 10, our top 10 favorite films of all time,
you're talking about.
And the top 10 best films of all time is the last two episodes of the show, not necessarily in that order. This one will be right up there. It's from the Wachowskis. We're getting a sequel in less than 6 weeks.
Mm.
I cannot believe that this is the case some 22 years after this film was released from The Matrix. It's the very end of the film. It's Rage Against the Machines. Wake up. Now, this one, you might remember. It's not For Fuck For Fuck.
Yeah, it sounds to me like For Fuck For Fuck.
It's from the same album.
Okay.
From Rage Against the Machines, again, self-titled album. This one is after the end of the film. Neo walks, he hears from Morpheus, or from Trinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Walks out of the phone box. He's completely in control of his powers. Walks out, looks around the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
Very kind of impressively. Sticks his sunglasses on. Looks up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera pans out.
Crouches. Come on!
Into the credits!
Is that the original Matrix?
Yeah. Now, apart from the title being very reflective and the themes of this film being very reflective of the Matrix, of what life was like in the States at that particular time. In fact, probably, to be fair, around the world.
Mm.
That really resonates as well. But that song, that moment of, come on, as we go, written and directed by the Wachowski at that stage, brothers, now siblings, is just a chills moment to an already chills-based film for me.
Everyone, when Paul and I were youngsters, I heard that fucking song at every fucking party.
You heard For Fuck For Fuck at every party. This one is the lesser-known cousin.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Okay.
That one's killing in the name.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, this one is Wake Up.
Okay, this is, don't get me wrong, this is great, and it's very 90s in its sort of thrashy, grungy sort of...
Such a good song.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. And to be fair, we all love The Matrix, so sure, that works like a motherfucker.
Nice. All right. Your number seven, sir.
My number seven is, in fact, my favorite indie song.
Ooh.
I know.
Lisa Loeb?
That's not indie.
Isn't it?
She's acoustic, but she was very popular. No, this is, in fact, from the film 500 Days of Summer.
Nice film.
And it's where Joe Gordon-Levitt goes up in a karaoke bar and he says to Zooey Deschanel, she's like, hey, let's sing. He's like, no, I'm not drunk enough for that yet. And the very next scene, he's drunk on stage singing this song. It's Here Comes Your Man by the Pixies. Yeah.
Outside there's a boxcar waiting. Outside the family's door. Out by the fire breathing. Outside we wait till face turns.
Let me get to the chorus. This is great.
We got all the time in the world.
I just love this song. I've always loved it.
The number one comment on the Pixies official video on YouTube is, the Pixies look like a band that plays Pixies covers.
Well, it's funny. I went and saw them live maybe like shit. It was probably
we
like
saw it seven. Together.
We yeah,
saw
we were together. There. That's right. Yeah.
I would say it was 11 years ago.
11 years. Yeah. Damn. And it was like, yeah, they're just like, they're not a glamorous band at all. But this music really endured, and I've always liked this particular song. Particularly, ding, 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 ding. It's just really cool. So, and also, Joe Gordon-Levitt sort of nails it in this. He's actually doing a drunken version of it, but you can tell he can sing. So it's kind of cool.
Nice.
Here All comes right. your man.
My number seven, by stark contrast, is a very dark song in a dark moment of an otherwise not necessarily always dark film. It's from Guy Ritchie. It's from the film Snatch. Angel from Massive Attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is in the scene where Bricktop has ordered his heavies to go and put the basically upset Turkish and Mickey to make Mickey fight.
That's right.
In the fixed fight.
And what does he do, Paul?
Well, he smashes up
He sets the caravan on fire.
First of all, he smashes up Turkish's arcade, mm-hmm. and then he sets the... In fact, we'll just let the scene do the talking.
Right, but imagine this.
More Turkish's arcade being smashed up.
Mm-hmm.
Turkish fighting back.
Richter, thought smashing up our arcade might help me to persuade Mickey to fight. And if that wasn't enough, he thought it would be a good idea to burn Mickey's mum's caravan while she was asleep in it.
Look, it's hard to describe how powerful that moment
because
is.
Because the scene is Brad Pitt in slow-mo being held back by the other pikies. Yep. Yeah, while he's, like, you know, in horror.
Yeah, and then there's a great close-up. If you ever doubted Brad Pitt's acting ability, ever have, and I don't think people would now, 20 years or so after the film came out, there's a slow-mo close-up on his face as this song crescendos, which I could have played, but it doesn't have the voiceover to kind of give it some context, where you can see in his face, he's not giving in at all. Yet the film leads you to believe that he is until he's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a great moment in retrospect in the film. All of that plays in, but just this album, Mezzanine, got me through my honors year. There's
is that so?
Unfortunately, there's another song which did not make the list because it's my favorite song of all time, which between this album and that song were just on my highest rotation.
Wait, what's the song?
Busiest. That song is Stink Fist by Tool.
Okay.
I looked for it everywhere, hoping it has been in TV shows, but Tool don't often give the rights to their song to play. So I couldn't find a good Tool song to substitute even in for it, which I've done in a couple other bands later on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is as close as I could get, but this represents such a period in my life. It's so...
What are we talking about? Like mid-90s?
No, late 90s.
Late 90s? Oh,
yeah. Very late 90s. In fact, this was sort of 99, 2000, around that era for me. And
I remember the scene out there with it sounded like that time.
I love this album, even though this may have come out a couple of years before, but it was right when I was writing this around that sort of particular time in the early 2000s on heavy rotation, and just that image of Brad Pitt's face is burned in my memory along with the beats of this song.
Did you like it before it turned up in this film, or did you like it before?
Don't think I'd heard it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a film that introduced me to the song.
That's kind of the magic of film. Yep. You do find shit that's like that.
Happens all the time now.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Although it did, and it certainly happened in the case of my number six. Now, everyone, here's where you're going to see where the problem is, okay? This song is probably objectively crap, but I still like it. I still like it. And when
I just saw what it was.
Yep. And when I saw it in the film, it was at the end of the film, Jewel of the Nile, where Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner, who was nice when she was still a woman.
Not sure you can say that.
They make a joke about it on Californication. It should be fine.
Yes,
they're actually getting married at the end, and it's a very happy scene, and they're in Africa, and it's like, woo, 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 and then this song starts playing. That is the worst lyric ever in a song.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, here we are, and it made me happy. Now, Paul, I showed you the YouTube link. You may not notice this, but on stage there with Billy Ocean.
In the background, the white
sucks. There's Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito singing back up in a white suit. It delighted me as a child. I'm thinking this is 1986. Could be wrong, right?
Sounds about right.
But right, yeah. So this is definitely a nostalgia choice, people. I don't still think it's a good song, but that does not mean I don't enjoy hearing it. I just had a good time bopping along to that. You know why? Because I got problems. And that's how it is. So yeah, my number six is When the Going Gets Shit. From Jewel of the Nile.
Can we just leave it in?
I mean, We're in.
So that was Wayne's water bottle. My number six is a little bit more contemporary, but not that much more. Ironically, this is 27 years old, this song.
Woo-hoo.
And it's from a guy who still makes music, which means a lot to people today, although now he does soundtracks. Ironically, this was maybe his first foray into it, as he created a song for this particular album. From Alex Proyas's The Crow, which has a lot of great songs in it. My favorite version.
Stone Temple Pilots?
No.
Oh.
No. Although, if I wanted to represent one of my favorite bands, I could have gone Big Empty from that album.
Yeah. That's what I thought you'd say. But no. Go on, what's this
I'm
then?
I'm going Nine Inch Nails cover of Joy Division's Dead Souls. I want you to imagine, Wayne, Brandon Lee in his Crow kind of outfit running across the rooftops towards vengeance as he looks for a revenge on the group of killers that killed him, raped his girlfriend, and killed her as well.
I actually don't recognize the song. It's a nice tune. I remember you guys liking this film a lot because it was the goth film of its time.
Yeah, well, it's not that we were goths at all.
No, but like it would be cool to like this film because it's about goth. It's literally gothic looking.
Oh, yeah, it's very... I mean, this is the era of goth,
well, he had
right?
White makeup. You know, like,
white makeup, dark, long, dark hair, the big boots, all the black clothing and whatever else. And he's come back to life having been murdered by this crew of ne'er-do-wells and goes for revenge. And this is where this is the scene where he dons the Crow, I guess, kind of... costume and murders the first dude.
You know what? Just on this note, Brandon Lee, I reckon, and I thought this at the time and I still think it now, he was doing Big Trouble in Little China. He was doing like, you know...
Big Trouble in China?
Yeah. No, sorry.
Dragon.
Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah, Showdown in Tokyo. Dragon, the Bruce Lee story?
No, that's Jason Scott Lee.
That was Jason Scott Lee. What? Hey.
Brandon Lee, right? He was doing Dolph Lundgren movies, right? For a while. And then this, The
that
Crow.
That was a god-awful film, Showdown in Tokyo.
Showdown was a horse shit.
Yeah, you watched it again ever since. Oh my
Rapid
God.
Fire was only slightly better. But so he was doing those kinds of films, right? And then this thing turns up, right? The Crow. And obviously we all saw like the computer CGI version where they had to fix up. But this guy could have been a massive star because this was so cool, this film.
Yep.
We couldn't believe how good it was. And then, tragedy.
It was this film that killed him.
That's what I mean. If this had been his first film in the whatever he got next.
If he was alive at the end of it, yeah, who knows?
I'm saying he would have gone places, man. This film rocked. Yeah, so
he had presence, he had charisma, he had everything.
Totally.
Know, good looks.
Yep. Good looks, absolutely. So,
all right, Wayne, your number five.
My number five is from the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Now, there's a scene where Steve Carell is basically has a bust up with his girlfriend in the film, the grandma, what's her name?
Catherine Keener.
Yeah, good one. Thank you. And she goes, and she basically just gets pissed off with him and runs out of the house and then drives away in a car. And he has to go after her on his bicycle, right? And he runs up.
Of course he does.
Of course he does, right? Because he's got clips and everything. And as he does, he gets on his bike and then this song plays. And I remember just going, I'm bopping to this song because I like it. Go ahead. It's The Heat of the Moment by Asia. I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. And that would wipe the smile right from. I love the shit out of it. For some reason, it spurred me on with the scene. I wanted him to catch her, and it was really cool.
Okay. I don't know if I've heard it in the movie.
Sure, you've not heard the song?
I don't know if I have.
You haven't heard the song? Wow, I'm interested. Well, this is an 80s classic. Yep. Like, it's all
fair
about
enough.
That.
Sounds 80s.
Karaoke's, but yeah, big fan of the song, big fan of the scene, and the movie.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Paulie, what's your number five?
My number five is a film that you might not recognize, but a song that you will. So maybe I should just let the song this time do the talking.
Let's see here.
Bit of Akajaka. Aussie rock.
Now, are we talking Iron Man 2?
No. But we could have. Thunder! Does this not get your blood going, Wade?
Look, I'm not really white enough to do it properly.
To hear me do the rest of it.
No, it's a funny thing. Our international listeners, it may amuse you to know that if you ever drive what you call a pickup or what we call a ute or utility, it's almost it's kind of like expected that you'll go na 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 as you drive past. That's just something that happens here, at least in my experience. What movie is it from?
The Longest Yard.
Oh, the Adam Sandler one?
Yeah, the Adam Sandler one. The remake of the Mean
Brit
Machine.
Reynolds, yeah.
I believe it was. And yeah, they're in prison. And this is the song that kicks off their game versus the guards, as they're all the prisoners, which Adam Sandler has trained. And they decide to go hard on the guards. Oh, damn it. I thought that was a bit where I went.
Is that why you kept it playing?
Yeah.
Okay, we're done.
Honestly, that is.
Okay, nice. Well, my number four, everyone, is not only in a film starring one of Paul's favorite actors, but the song itself is performed by one of his favorite actors.
Honto?
Yeah, it's Jack Black in
High
Fidelity. When at the end of the movie, at the end of the movie, he's actually introducing John Cusack's, like, you know, record label launch or album launch or something, and he's just doing, like, he's warming up the crowd. John Cusack's like, look, here's the band. Look, please don't leave until they're done so you can hear the actual thing.
I left.
That's right. But then Jack Black goes on to sing a Marvin Gaye song, Let's Get It On, and kills it. And that's what sounds awesome. Go ahead, Paulie.
We'd rather have the Jack Black version of
version is actually magical. Listen up.
All I've got here is the Marvin Gaye version.
No, bitch. Listen to Jack Black version.
That's right.
Oh. I've been really trying, baby.
Huh?
Trying to hold on to this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, sugar, come on. Whoa, come on. Woo. Let's get it on. Oh, baby, let's get it on. Let's love, sugar. Let's get it on.
Yeah. See? Surprising is that he's so good at it.
Look, he's a good singer. No one's denied that Jack Black's a good singer. He's a fucking shit actor.
I love Jack Black.
Apart from in Welcome to the Jungle,
yeah,
which
is
the only time
you
did not appreciate him. So you have got Jack Black all ass around Blackwoods.
Real good. but yes, no, I actually listened to that myself because I like, don't get me wrong, Marvin Gaye is Marvin Gaye. You can't replace Marvin Gaye.
Thank God, I'm glad you said that.
But I always like covers of stuff that take it in a very slightly different direction, and this is a really good version of that.
Well, it's like film reboots. You need to do something a little bit, a little bit different, but still honor the original.
Yeah, and I think this does that perfectly. And again, we didn't expect it to be remotely good. So boom.
Fair enough.
There you are.
Whereas my number four song is fucking amazing, and I will say this now. On record, officially, the greatest drum solo to start any song, period.
In the air tonight?
Good. Let's let the song do the talking.
Go ahead. I know the song, but not yet.
I'm talking My Hero by the Foo Fighters.
Ah, the Foo Fighters.
And this song plays in the scene from The Other Guys, the only funny scene in the entire film.
When they jump off?
When they jump off the roof.
I said this song. song.
Yeah, so they run out into the roof chasing these bad guys or rob whatever the fuck they've robbed, and they've managed to, you know, parkour their way onto into a building and get away from The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Who chase them inside and then get up the roof. And these dudes have set up this pulley, like a flying fox system to get them away from the top of this building.
Yep.
And they get to the top because these guys are like super cops. Like, yeah, we mentioned
earlier. The Rock and Sam Jackson.
Arnold Schwarzenegger slash Sylvester Stallone in this more modern day action era. And I can't remember who says it. No,
I think the Rock once looks like, at Sam Jackson and goes, says, aim for the bushes. Aim for the bushes.
And they fist bump.
Yeah.
And then just jump off.
Jump off a fucking building.
And this song crescendos as they're falling to the ground. And the camera follows them all the way down. Yeah, that's special effects. Funny. And as they splat on the ground and die, the song cuts out. Very memorable from a fantastic song. It's not my favorite Foo Fighters song. This is one I had to sub in. My favorite Foo Fighters song would be sort of Monkey Wrench. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or All My Life. But I couldn't find a good film which those had been in it. So this was the closest I could get. And I stand by my statement about that drum solo, which is fucking incredible.
Yeah, lay down. It's a but the actually, you should know, everyone, that Paul is a Foo Fighters fool. He's a big fan. So
I'm a massive fan, and they would have to be on my list. And there's some other bands which I'll get to in honorable mentions, but didn't make it because I couldn't find a good song in them. But I was so pleased I could get Foo Fighters on here at my number four.
Yeah, John Mayer's songs have only been in one movie, so I didn't...
Really?
Yeah.
I totally expected John Mayer to be coming.
Nah, it's only been in one film.
Wow.
And it's in like some fucking Mandy Moore fucking film. I'm just not going to go there. Anyway.
Or John Mayer doesn't sell out. Maybe that's the way you should sell it.
Sure, let's go with that. Yep. Okay, my number three is a film... it's a song from a film with George Clooney in it. George Clooney. You think you know country and Western music, okay, but you don't. Apparently, this is considered actual country music, as in very, like, you know, classically country music. When this song, which is called I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when the soundtrack played, it went straight to number one and stayed there. In fact, George Clooney once joked that the guy in the film who isn't him and isn't one of the biggest stars, who actually sang on the actual track...
Tim Blake Nelson?
That's him.
Yeah.
Been a while since I've seen it. He made more money than anyone in the entire film because his name was on the record and he was actually one of the singers, and it sold so heavily that he made way more.
I reckon Nescafe sorted that shit out.
I love those ads too. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. I love this song. I absolutely love it. And in fact, I like a lot of this soundtrack. So it's an odd one, but I'm an odd man. Go ahead, Paul. Very raw, very muddy, but I love it.
What's the actual band's name that sang that song?
I'd say Soggy Bottom Boys is what it's credited as. I don't know who the name of the actual... George Clooney obviously mouths it.
Yeah, but with some really good acting, you have to say, in that scene where he's like looking awkward, like, is anyone buying this?
And then he just jumps in and says, yeah.
No, it's like, even as he's doing it, it's like, is this okay?
Because George Clooney's great. Oh Brother, Art Thou, I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow, big fan, always have been.
Fair enough. My number three... I like the way I'm almost revealing this to myself as I go as well, because I'm scrolling through my letterbox list. This is from the film Gross Point Blank,
starring
John Cusack as a hitman who comes back to his 10-year high school reunion. He learns a bit about life at this high school reunion, as well as hooking up with his ex-flame.
Mini driver.
No one understands why you'd bother.
A rare moment of shade from Paul.
But anyway, he does, and there's this scene where he's talking while in the background this song is playing. Like, so it's, what do you call it, diegetic?
Yeah, diegetic sound. If the characters in the movie can hear it.
Yeah, so they're listening to this song. And then as this moment happens where this married ex-high school friend who's got her baby, she brought her baby bad form to the 10-year high school reunion.
Idiot.
Hands the baby over to him and says, can you just hold him for a second? And then the music swells as he's looking at this baby. And initially he's uncomfortable, as everyone who's ever held a baby who hasn't had a baby is.
Check.
And then starts to sort of bond by looking at this baby's eyes, who's nothing but like sweetness and light, and looking at him. And there's this moment where his current life is against the life that he wants to have.
Right.
And it is perfectly represented by this swelling up of this song, which also happens to be one of my absolute fucking favorites.
I can't remember it, so I'm interested.
Sunshine, old fashioned.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure you don't prefer the Vanilla Ice version?
The riff that he ripped. No, I do not. But I think that's just a inspired choice of an amazing song.
It actually would. Yeah, I remember the scene now that you play that. It was really good. And David Bowie is the shit, isn't he?
David Bowie, Queen.
He's just the shit.
I kept coming back to Queen on this list, but I used two of them on my Needle Drops list. And so I'm glad I could not shoehorn them in, because at number three, I legitimately love this song. And a long time ago with some friends on my and a WhatsApp chat, we did top 10 most playable songs, and this was in my list.
Out of interest, favorite David Bowie song?
Ooh, shit.
For me, it's really easy. It's Modern Love.
Modern Love's very good.
Yeah.
I like Suffragette City.
Yeah.
There's another one I can't think of off the top of my head. But, I mean, do I count this one? Because if I do, Under Pressure wins.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Okay. That's fine.
All right, nice number one. Two.
My number two is from one of possibly my favorite movie, although I don't think it is my favorite movie at all, but I'm not sure because I don't know.
Jerry Maguire?
Yes, from Jerry Maguire. Okay, so here it is. The scene in question is where he is like, you know, he marries like Renee Zellweger, and they're like, oh, okay, you're happy and this and that. But of course, the big bounce, which is something that happens often in relationships, is you get together and it's all good and then something happens. And
if anyone who knows anything about this... You're speaking to him. You're listening to him, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. No man has trashed more relationships or fucked up more than me. So Jerry Maguire is basically finding out, and they're having this conversation where they're like, Jesus, are we just being polite to each other? Do we really love each other? And he's having that moment. And the camera, like, she just gets up and goes, listen, when you go to this conference, let's just call it what it is. It's a break. And you can sort of see him about to sort of, like, just sort of welling up and stuff. And then the camera pulls back. She gives him a kiss on the cheek and she walks away from me sitting outside at night. And this song plays.
Zellweger used to be cute, huh?
I loved her. I haven't seen her lately, okay?
So did TPC.
If you come knocking late at night, she'll let you in her mouth. If the words you say are right, if you pay the price, she'll let you deep inside. But there's a secret garden she has.
Okay, so you know what they used to say, you put Bruce Springsteen on your soundtrack, you get an Oscar. And this film did. This is one of those. So I also find it particularly pertinent and very just romantic. The idea that those lyrics, she'll let you in her heart if you have a hammer and vice, she has a secret garden. That's kind of, I know you don't think I think this, but that's how I feel about women. I think everything is a secret until she lets you in. That's what I think.
I thought you were taking it literally.
By garden, you mean for a burger? No.
Yeah.
I meant actually. I meant like.
Shout out to Dan and Caleb who gave you a shout out this week.
Really?
When they mentioned the word fur burger on Netflix and Swill.
It does sort of fly in the face of the point I was making, but I'm fine with that. But yes, I do love that song in that show, in that scene. Secret Garden from Bruce Springsteen in Jerry Maguire.
Okay, well, my number two is from the most little scene film that we've probably ever covered in this podcast. It's not a piece of shit, like worst 10 of anything.
Okay, all right.
I know you've seen this film and I think you appreciate it, but not to level I did, because this came at the exact right time in my life. And I think it, you know, in a weird way, kind of shaped me.
So
right. It has real resonance to the film itself. This song, however,
this should be interesting,
is in my top five songs of all time.
Ooh. All right.
I think I can categorically state that and confidently without like all shame or whatever else. So judge me as you will.
That's what I say about everything I do. Go ahead.
It's from the film SFW.
Oh, yeah. I knew you had this in here.
Starring Stephen Dorff, who is good in this movie. If you ever doubt it, no one saw this film. This film made $75,000 at the box office.
Man,
only.
I recommended this film to someone and said, this is a great film. They come back to me, that fucking movie sucked.
Yep. This is a film about a guy who gets basically held hostage in a convenience store. Mm-hmm. He survives. Another girl survives. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
And his friend dies and everyone else in there dies. And he kills a couple of the people that hold him hostage. And it's more about after he escapes and gets out of there. how he sensationalizes his hero when he's just anything but. He's just a normal 20, 21-year-old slacker, could give two fucks about anything.
And he gets famous.
He gets famous and how he's trying to deal with that. And it's very, very clever. It's ahead of its time, this movie. Has this film come out in 2014? Massive hit.
You know what it is? The movie, because I love it as well, right? But it's very frenetically filmed and it's actually kind of high concept in the way that it presents itself to you. So if you're looking for a normal movie, you're not going to get it with this film. But I know, tell me the scene in question, Paul.
Well, this scene is probably just, so his name's Cliff Spab.
Yeah, Cliff Spab.
He's got this very awful kind of name. And it's just, he's talking to Jake Busey, who's who's a mate who's alive afterwards. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, you ask me what I know, I don't know anything. All I know is we can't be sure about anything. And then it's just him going, fuck it, and starts walking.
In slow-mo.
Slow-mo towards the camera while everyone else is walking away, which is really important.
Yeah.
He stops in front of a store which has all his paraphernalia in it.
Mm-hmm.
He walks into the store, which happens to be a music store, because remember when those things were a thing?
Yep.
CDs and tapes.
Yep.
Shit everywhere. And on the TV screen is him. One of the moments where he was filmed, because these kidnappers or they film everything on these super VHS cameras, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And he's getting to see himself, not maybe for the first time, but in a different light, because everyone's gathered around just sucking it all in. And this is the song that's playing through all of that.
So fucking special, but I'm a creep.
Radiohead fan, Paul?
I am a very early Radiohead. The first 2-3 albums are fucking incredible. They lost me after that, unfortunately, but I respect their decision to go in different directions.
Mm.
This song, astounding.
Am I remembering it correctly that as he's walking in slow-mo, he exhales a cigarette and it's like,
yep.
It's like, it's
wow,
cool.
Good memory.
You know, yeah, I'm trying to remember that because I remember thinking that was cool visually. I'm just like, the fact that it was blown in slow and you're seeing him walk in slow, you know, if you do it right, it's fucking magical.
I think the critical thing is the people walking away, but Radiohead's Creep from their first album, Pablo Honey, and this is their first ever single, and for a long time after it came out, they refused to play it anymore because they didn't want to be associated with this type of song.
That's right.
But it made them. So I always find that funny as bands. Oh, we've evolved beyond that. It's like an author whose first novel won't acknowledge it.
Gives me the shit. Yep. That's like if you won a lottery ticket, you know, you won like $2 million.
I'm not friends with my friends.
Yeah. Then. And every time you look at a fucking framed lottery ticket, you look at it and go, stupid lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Motherfucking what? You know, it's just, yeah, I get that. But this is music.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not a creative in that particular way. So I still love this song. I love that moment. I'm so glad it appeared somewhere in a meaningful way to me. So that's my number two.
Very nice. My number one, I guess 10 to 1 now.
Yeah, give us your rundown, Wayne, and let's reveal your absolute favorite song featured in film.
Okay. Sabotage by Beastie Boys is my number 10.
I can't stand it.
Which apparently is that. That's apparently that song. Number 9 was Angel of the Morning.
Not going to do that one.
Deadpool. 8, Woman in Chains, Tears for Fears.
Don't know it.
Yeah, you do.
Know it from what I heard before. Really? But it's not like Sowing the Seeds of Love.
No, but it was that same album. Anyway, Here Comes Your Man was my number 7 from 500 Days of Summer.
Here Comes Your Man. Ding, ding, ding.
6 was When the Going Gets Shit from
the
Jewel of the Nine.
Going gets tough.
My ass gets cold.
My ass gets
gets looped. All right. number 5 was Heat of the Moment by Asia in the 40-year-old
version.
Yeah,
I didn't know this one at all.
Yeah, amazed at that. 4, Jack Black, Let's Get It On. High Fidelity.
Don't
beautiful.
Know it.
3, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I Am a Man Who Cuts the Soul. There it is. Like being in the room with him. Secret Garden from Jerry Maguire was my number 2. And my number 1 favorite song that appeared in a film that makes me get up and boogie, as the kids say. never. this
as the
actually,
kids once said 50 years ago.
Yeah, before I was born. It is, in fact, a song that actively makes me happy. And if you know the kind of guy I am, that's why this is at number 1. It is from the film Electric Dreams. And at the end of this film, is basically where the computer blows itself up. It's a long story, but it blows itself up and it has one gift to give to the world, and it rigs everything. So it plays this song on every radio on the planet, and then it's just a montage of people rocking out to this song, but I absolutely love it. And I saw the band Human League play this live, which was awesome as well. Go ahead, Paul.
Oakley and Giorgio Moroder.
Okay, that's right, yeah. This technically is not a Human League band song.
But they still play it.
Yeah, Oakley plays it, yeah.
Do you want to come in at a certain part? To illustrate the power of this moment when people are rocking out, or do you want to
maybe
go from
just
the start?
A few seconds in? Do we just like maybe 5-6 seconds in?
I don't get it. I'm not playing anything. But where is it coming from? Beats me. Bailey, get that computer.
See, people don't know where it's coming from. It's just on the radio.
God, the background's just dancing.
Like I was. Let me tell you something. On the right night, I can murder this in karaoke.
Murder being the operative word.
Yeah. It's
We all know that Wayne can sing. So he will nail it if he wishes to. Not just the song I'm talking about.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I wondered if you were going to go there, and then I stopped wondering.
Oh, that's a good song. It's on my playlist. Absolutely. Yeah? So,
oh, okay,
well played, sir.
Very nice.
All right. My number one won't be on your playlist, but it bloody well should be, Wayne. But we'll get there after we go back through my 10 through 2. My Let's number go. 10 is Boston's More Than a Feeling.
More Than a Feeling.
Which I won't do any more of that of. From fine. The Heat, from Collateral's Hands of Time by Groove Armada, from The Matrix, Wake Up by Rage Against the Machine, from Snatch, Massive Attack's Angel, from The Crow, Nine Inch Nails, cover of Joy Division's Dead Souls at number 6, number 5, AC/DC Thunderstruck in The Longest Yard, number 4, The Foo Fighters' very, very appropriate My Hero from The Other Guys, number 3, Queen and David Bowie's Under Pressure from Gross Point Blank, number 2, Creep, from Radiohead in SFW. And my number one, as soon as I found a song, a movie where this song was in, it was either going to be my one or two. Stinkfist wasn't here.
Fucking Stinkfist.
From Tool.
It's called Stinkfist. So probably, Paul doesn't like anal, but it's called Stinkfist. Like,
I know. What are the odds?
I know.
But this song, no one can deny its absolute electric connection. It gets anybody going who listens to it. It has one of the most iconic riffs ever. And choruses that everyone will recognize if you're alive at this time. I'm not even going to introduce it. It's from The Disaster Artist. It's when they're slow-mo walking in to start day one of production on The Room.
All right.
It's this song. But it makes no difference because I'm not go on the rest of the song, right?
Now, this is what I fucking heard every party in the 90s, okay? These motherfuckers in their Faith No More would drop this shit and Red Hot Poontang Peppers.
Yeah,
and
What was it? I tried so hard for Red Hot Chili Peppers, and there's nothing.
Not even on the Point Break soundtrack?
No, surprisingly not.
Yeah, look at that.
No, like, there's Higher Ground in whatever film it was.
That's
which,
a Stevie Wonder song.
I know, it's a cover. Yeah. You had a cover in there, but I didn't. Yeah, I had a cover too.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So like, no, I really want to give it away, but there wasn't a good give it away song.
Paul knows every fucking lyric and give it away, and we'll do it if it comes on.
The other band which really missed out for me was Stone Temple Pilots. I would have had Plush on here.
Plush is such a good. Have you heard an acoustic version that he does on YouTube?
I've heard the acoustic version. I've heard a live version. Live version of Plush in the mid-90s is absolutely fucking astounding.
Yeah, I think it's the one we're talking about. He's just him in one.
No, I've heard that one too. I'm talking a proper electric whatever. It was on their Purple re-release in 2019 after Scott Weiland died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, there's a whole bunch of bands I couldn't get on here because I just didn't have. And my immediate went to, oh, here's my top four songs. I got two of them in there. I didn't get four, so.
Okay. Well, there you are. Very nice.
Any honorable mentions?
Yeah, quite a few, but I'll just go through a few of them.
We won't play them. We'll just...
Yeah, we won't.
Maybe we'll use them as intros and outros.
Sure. You know Downtown by Anya Taylor-Joy in the one night...
Really? Was that good for you?
Fuck, man. It moved me when she sang on stage. Mrs. Robinson
Which
by...
Which part of you did it move?
Not just my... No, not my... my ears only. Yes, Mrs. Robinson by the Lemonheads in Wayne's World. Quite
yeah,
like that.
Okay, yep.
Eyes Wide Shut. Chris Isaac did Baby Did a Bad Bad Thing. I don't like that song, but it worked. Good. Yeah, by the way, Chris Isaac high-fived me once. Because I was the only one who would go to his concert. No one would go with me, so I got a really good seat, single seat. And then he came out in the audience and we high-fived. There you go. 9 to 5.
Brushes with Faye. With Wayne.
9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. And,
what?
Oh, I love that song. I'm a big Dolly Parton fan. Huge, huge. I told you people. And also, this, if I had known we were doing this, right, which is
What's
just
this?
The best song. Because initially I said, how about the best song? And you said, no, let's make it like how it pertains to the movie.
Well, this pertains, it's a
totally
good moment.
Fine. Totally fine, totally fine. This song here is one of my favorite songs. It's Arthur's theme, The Best You Can Do from Arthur by Christopher Cross. If you get caught between the moon and
okay.
New York
yep.
City. That one. So,
did that not play well in the movie?
No, it played well, but I was going with... Not as it's just over the opening credits, so it's not particularly,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Again, other than Rage Against Machines, Wake Up, which played to the end credits and then over them.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So any honorable mentions for you?
Look, I only had one that I could, other than the bands I mentioned, and there was a couple of songs. That's not a good enough scene.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one which this is, I'm be honest here.
Yeah,
you know,
bring it.
Yeah, this song from A Star Is Born, Gaga.
What, you like that one? I love it.
I love that song. Like I took my wife, my fiance to see, no, not even my girlfriend to see it. And a couple of weeks later, I proposed to her. And that song was resonating for me at the time. So she may not know this and she might hear this now and go, oh, yeah. I'm probably just going to, you dickhead.
No, you're not. You're going to get some ass, my friend.
Not now you've said it. You've fucking spoiled
don't,
it.
Don't, Patsy,
flipping a
just
table.
Forget I said anything.
No, but seriously, like that was, as I
oh
was
God,
like,
I can't believe you
organizing
that
the proposal, I was like, that was the kind of song which was resonating in my head.
Does that mean your outro is going to be us singing that song that we did?
We did do that, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Well, maybe that's what it should be. Nothing will ruin my chances of getting bedded.
Just turn it off. I don't know, just do it.
That is Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call The Pop 10.
Talk about. Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the aforementioned David Powell, patron extraordinaire, who said, try for some variety and where the song was perfectly chosen for the scene. Perfect Day by Lou Reed in Trainspotting.
Beautiful.
Banana Splits theme in The Dickies.
Almost got there for me.
Sorry, by The Dickies in Kick-Ass.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
And The End by The Doors in Apocalypse Now. Mm-hmm. Well played, sir. Joey DiCarlo from The Soilwizard Podcast. Great show, check them out. Prince of the Universe by Queen from Highlander. Dare by Stan Bush from Transformers the movie?
Really?
The movie,
okay. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel from Say Anything.
Sure.
Sorry, I'm a Giant Softie. That was his.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll obviously be voting for Wayne this week, Joey. Scott Thornton said, Deftones, Change in the House of Flies from Queen of the Damned. Crap movie, but well-placed, amazing song.
Okay.
Jackie Wilson's Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher
too?
From Ghostbusters 2.
Fantastic.
Just plain fun. And Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird from Devil's Reject. Brilliant film with an amazing song in an amazing scene.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Ben Randall said, Can't Always Get What You Want from The Big Chill.
Sure.
Baby, I Love Your Way, Peter Frampton and Lisa Bonet from High Fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And Walking King Caesar, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Don't
know that one.
No, that particular one. Jonathan Slander said, Number 3, Immigrant Song, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, and Thor, colon, Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome song, and honestly, the US version of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo is better than the Swedish version. It probably is a better film. But
I only saw one, yeah.
Beethoven's 9th, 3rd movement, Die Hard, Clockwork Orange. This song is near perfection, and its use in both movies is so good. And Hooked on a Feeling, Reservoir Dogs and Guardians of the Galaxy. Fess up, you hear the Ooga Chukka, Ooga, Ooga, Ooga Chukka.
No doubt.
And you just know exactly what I'm talking about. Great song to introduce us to two awesome casts and really damn good. That's a really good call. I really like that song too. I love that whole soundtrack. I guess I gave it my love with Stuck in the Middle with You previously. Jake Humphrey, Stuck in the Middle with You from Reservoir Dogs, because surely this song is going to be in Paul's top 5. It would have been, Jake.
But it was last
been,
time.
But it was in Needle Drops. Memory from Cats. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. That song is a triumph Jennifer Hudson is fantastic, and it's the only good part of that dumpster fire.
I would actually agree. The performance was great.
And then number one, Mike Margosi, and totally agreed. This was his number one, two, and three. Drive It Like You Stole It from Sing Street, because I haven't been able to get it out of my head since I saw the film.
Fuck, I forgot about that. That is such a good song.
Maybe we should close with that and open with our rendition of...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll play. That'll play.
Okay, moving on. Mark Harris said Peter Quill dancing to Come and Get Your Love in Guardians of the Galaxy, which was in my top 10 needle drops. The opening scene of Baby Driver, Bell Bottoms, the John Spencer Blues Explosion. Excellent, excellent choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Marty McFly playing Johnny B. Goode in Back to the Future. What a list.
Great All classic. Stuff. Good stuff.
Tom Ashdown said Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club. That's Sorry. The one. I could choose any music from Drive, but I'll go with Nowinski Night Call. Okay. So not Real Hero.
No, but...
And number one, Queen, Don't Stop Me Now from Shaun of the Dead. I think that was my number one Definitely. Or two from Needle Drops.
It was.
Well played, sir. Julio for the Contrarians podcast said Joe's Cocker. Joe Cocker's?
Joe's Cocker.
Leaving it in. Joe Cocker's cover of Come Together that underscores JoJo's arrival in New York in Across the Universe. No idea.
Okay.
Bob and Earl's Harlem Shuffle as Baby goes to get coffee in Baby Driver.
Okay. Nice.
And an MCU tie. The first time we see the Guardians of the Galaxy in Infinity War bopping to the spinners, the Rubber Band Man.
Rubber Band Man's a great song.
And then, of course, the throw to the Marvel logo in Endgame. Hawkeye realizes his family has vanished. Then we get the MCU animation as Dear Mr. Fantasy by Traffic kicks in.
Okay. Hmm. Nice.
Brett Hargis from the Cinema Guys podcast on The Great Show, along with the Contrarians. Do check them both out. Playing with the Boys, Kenny Loggins in Top Gun.
Fantastic call.
Burn, The Cure in The Crow. And Send Me an Angel, Real Life in Rad.
Nice.
Last two, because Wayne's looking at me funny.
I am.
Stephen Burns, Bohemian Rhapsody, Wayne's World. I mean, who hasn't hurt their neck recreating that head being seen? Absolutely not me, both Stephen. I totally have.
Totally.
The times are changing from Watchmen. I thought that would be on your list. Or was that on your needle time. Drop?
Yeah.
Fair enough. And Ride of the Valkyries from Apocalypse Now. This might not fit your brief as it has no lyrics, but it was a previously released piece. But that music piece of music is now synonymous with war explosions. 100% agree. Great, great choice. And Kristen Nakaro said, Black Sheep Metric, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I had that on my needle drops. Mr. Blue Sky from Electric Light Orchestra from Guardians of the Galaxy.
One of the best songs ever.
Excellent choice. And Hocus Pocus from Focus in Baby Driver, but also the entirety of the Baby Driver soundtrack, if we're being honest.
Fair enough.
There we are. That's your list. Your feedback. Thank you to everyone who got back to us we couldn't get to in the Facebook community. That's the only place you can vote every week on the topics at hand. So do get involved. The link's in the show notes. How else can the listeners get back to us, Wayne, with their feedback on the show, or indeed get involved?
Google us to find all of our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show through Podbean. And that's pretty much it, I do believe. Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 348 on The Countdown?
We're doing the top 10 written and directed by films.
Right.
Right? So you're an artist, you're a director, and you wrote the film. Those films, our top 10.
Right. So written and directed by, and just a little heads up, we're very lucky next week to be seeing early in Australia. It's only really out in America, I believe, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Right. So we'll have that review for you next week too.
Yeah. So check it out here as I almost lose my voice. After. Won't be long. What an episode.
It's a late night.
What an episode. What a late night. Wayne's away for the rest of the week. Enjoy yourself, sir.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
and
folks.
I don't think it was that much controversy today. Well, but we had a lot of good music.
Exactly.
We can agree on
it's
that.
It's all
part.
About that sound.
Alone. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You can't handle the truth.
If you think these songs weren't any good.
Oh, dear. Okay.
That works. Moving on. We'll catch you next time.
See Cheers. Ya.